Good afternoon, everyone. It's a fine Friday here for a Juno afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. We got a fun show today featuring Playboy Spaceman together here with Whiskey Class. We're going to be talking about tomorrow night's CD release party. Also going to be hearing from Rhythm of Polynesia. There's a luau show happening Saturday. We're going to get an update on United Way activities from Sarah Truitt. And Karen Parver will be here to highlight Saturday's Day at the Pool with Rotary. That's all happening, plus Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, fun, more. Some live music happening. We're going to have a luau in here. Might roast a pig. I don't know. We'll see what happens. First, National Native News is coming up.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Montana's Republican candidate for governor made an appearance during a recent powwow on the Flathead Reservation as the GOP reaches out to Native voters across the state. Corn Kate Carney reports.
Greg Gianforte, a software entrepreneur running to unseat Montana's incumbent Democratic Governor Steve Bullock, introduced himself at the Arlie celebration with a barbecue feed and a brief speech during the grand entry. It wasn't a campaign speech, just an introduction. A chance for Gianforte to build a bridge to the state's Native populations and voters on the Flathead Reservation.
When I'm elected governor, I need to be governor of the entire state. And, you know, our tribal nations are an important part of Montana. And I think it's really critical. You can't build relationships if you're not there and being with the people.
Gianforte is reaching out to Montana's Native American voters with help from a state legislator from the Chippewa Cree tribe. Bruce Myers is the only enrolled tribal member currently elected as a Republican in Montana's legislature. He says Native American communities have historically voted Democrat in Montana, but he wants to show the state's Republican and Native American populations that they can work together.
If I present the dream or the vision there for a better Montana with racial relations and developing our economic and natural resources together, we have a lot more people voting Republican and seeing the values that we have in common.
Myers says he will continue to bring GOP candidates to celebrations and powwows on reservations in Montana throughout the summer. I'm Corin Cates Carney in Helena, Montana.
Some Alaska Native artists are concerned about a new California law, which they say has created some confusion about the ivory market in the U.S. The California law bans the sale of ivory products. For Alaska Native artists who are protected under federal law, ivory helps put food on the table and is part of their culture. KNOM's Emily Russell has more.
John Kukuluk Sr. sits at his carving booth at the King Island Native Community Building. Dust flies through the air as he drills tiny holes into the 2-inch piece of ivory.
It's in our culture. It was passed long before my time. I feel fortunate to have this talent.
I love it. I love ivory carving. You know, we get to say whatever we want with our work.
Just like Kukuluk, Susie Siluk has been carving for decades. She's originally from the St. Lawrence Island community of Gamble. It's that love of carving that led Siluk to start an online petition opposing California's new law. Section 2 of Assembly Bill 96 defines ivory as, quote, a tooth or tusk from a species of elephant, hippopotamus, mammoth, walrus, whale, or narwhal.
And so this is kind of creating this confusion out there that all the materials listed in these laws is illegal now.
But they're not. The Marine Mammal Protection Act of 1972 legalizes the interstate sale of walrus ivory. Gay Sheffield is a biologist based in Nome. She says she understands the effort to protect elephant and other tusked animals in Africa from poachers, but they're not one and the same with the marine mammals she studies in the Bering Strait region.
The general public thinks ivory, elephant, dead elephant rotting in the sun, beautiful elephant with little baby, because it's always on the TV, on the documentaries. What they don't see is walrus ivory, legal harvest, food on the table, economic benefit to rural Alaskans.
Back at the King Island carving room, John Kukuluk Sr. continues to drill tiny holes into the walrus tooth he holds in one hand. He worries about the confusion the new California law will create for buyers, but Kukuluk says that won't stop him from carrying on the tradition his ancestors have been practicing for centuries.
I feel that I'll be doing this regardless of what happens, probably till the day I'm gone.
Reporting in Nome, I'm Emily Russell.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by the year-long celebration of Native American artist Lloyd Kiva New at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, the IAIA Museum of Contemporary Native Arts, and the New Mexico Museum of Art. Info at nmculture.org/LKN. And by Humboldt State University's online Master of Social Work program, which focuses on decolonizing work with rural and indigenous communities. Applications accepted August 1st to 31st at humboldt.edu/social work.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
Playboy Spaceman there, and got a little taste of that here in the studio. George Cuhar, Bridget Cuhar of Playboy Spaceman are here, and also from Whiskey Class, we've got Patrick Troll and Liz Snyder here in the studio as well. They're both playing this cool event, a CD release party happening tomorrow night at Rockwell. George, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. I'd like to make an addendum. It's actually technically not a CD release party. It's
point of order. Point of order, sir.
Yes.
Tell me again. That
it's an album release concert. We're not making CDs. We're trying to...
I'm sorry. See, that's just me, old man over here.
Well, you know, CDs had a good long heyday, but then I think eventually we all figured out, well, they scratch and they skip and that sucks, you know. So, you know, me personally, I want either a download or a vinyl record. And so if I can get both, that's awesome.
And I got one of them. I actually got two of them because I got two tickets. So if you get two tickets to the concert, right, you get downloads.
You get, yeah, that's right.
You get a download. For every ticket to the concert, you get a download of the album.
That's right.
Very exciting.
Yes, I am excited as well. You know, we wanted to...
I've been wearing
the album is officially not available to the general public until after the show. So we wanted to give people who were buying tickets ahead of time the opportunity to listen to it before anybody else and then come to the concert and sing along. You know,
that's good.
People do at concerts.
Yeah, that's actually really a great idea. But that's, you know, sure, I don't want an album. Once it's available to the general public, I don't want it.
Right.
I don't anymore.
Well, I'm playing to that psychology.
Very good. Very exclusive crowd here.
So wait, are you going to do a vinyl?
We are going to do a vinyl pre-order campaign. We're going to get that started here pretty soon. And
what's a pre-order campaign?
A pre-order campaign
we're
is...
We're taking notes over here.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's basically to test the waters to see if the interest is there. there's a... You know, you could do like it with Indiegogo, or there are some vinyl manufacturers who offer a pre-order service. It's basically is that you announce that you're going to do it, and you... ask people to basically pledge to buy a vinyl record. And if you meet the goal, like let's say you need to sell 50 vinyl records to break even on your manufacturing, if you can get 50 people to pledge to buy 50 records and they go, okay, well, let's do this, let's press the record and go for it. But if you get 40, then, well, okay, guess the record's not happening. Guess the interest isn't there for it. So it's really just a way of testing to see what interest is there before you drop, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 in manufacturing vinyl records.
That's cool. So let's talk a little bit about the concert and the event happening tomorrow night itself. So you guys have this brand new album.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the album itself.
The album itself. Well, Richard Radford wrote a really great article for the Capital City Weekly. He eloquently basically said what I'm going to sum up here for you. It's kind of like a dark album that's about fighting off despair and looking for the light in life. I wrote it during a time I was working at Bartlett Hospital, and my father's health wasn't good, and he actually passed recently. And there's just a lot of those themes that are occurring in there, and, you know, self-worth and value.
But it's interesting to me that you say that, because when I, and having only listened to it a few times now and not necessarily picking up on every lyrical content to it yet, I don't think of it as a dark album. I think of it as a having a light airiness to it, a spatial quality to it that's really...
Well, that's really good, because, I mean, ultimately,
peaceful, you know?
My goal as an artist is to be uplifting to people, regardless of what's happening in life.
I was going to say, I hate to break it to you, but you're not a dark guy.
Yeah, that's right. So. You're pretty...
Well, is it the shirt that I'm wearing?
Bridget has a
we all have a dark side.
Yeah, totally. And so Playboy Spaceman, tell us, just for folks who aren't familiar with the band, it's an awesome band here in Juneau. Who are the members? And
Playboy Spaceman is myself and Bridget and Jason Messing and Simon Taylor and Nicholas Wagner.
And you're on guitar and lead guitar as well, right? Or just the guitarist.
I am the guitarist.
You're on keyboards right now. You're not on bass, right?
Nope.
Lead keyboards.
Lead keyboards. I like to say lead. Who's the lead drummer?
Mm-hmm. Oh, better not say.
Yeah, that's the
we
question
got two drummers.
Mark. That's right. That's the question mark. So you got and then Simon's on the bass, and so it's a really cool band. And people who haven't seen it, do yourself a flavor and get out there and see it. So, but you're also a very cool thing that's happening is this other great band out of Southeast and Juneau called Whiskey Class. Patrick, you're representing Ketchikan here, right?
Kind of.
Yeah,
I am, but I live in Seattle now.
Okay, all right.
So, but,
very good.
You know, Northwest.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, sure. And then, and Liz, you're of course a Juneau kid, growing up, and we've seen so many different great iterations of the music that you've done.
Yeah, it's been
so tell me about what's exciting about working with Patrick, and this is a thing where you're really working to kind of, to me, it's like you take these songs that you have, you've been a great songwriter for a long time. Yeah, there's some construction equipment happening nearby here.
Maybe you can hear that.
Our whole studio is vibrating. We don't know what's going on, but we'll just
it's
go on.
The vibe,
like,
man.
Yeah, man. But you, for so long, you know, you've, it feels like what's happening is you're taking these songs that you develop, and then they're really being augmented by the things that Patrick does to it. You know, it's different than just playing with the band. You're really transforming that music.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's completely different. It's like kind of it's like dance music. It appeals to the masses more, in my opinion, from what I've seen. So
is
I don't know, it's more fun.
Is it more fun? Because I was wondering if it's disconcerting
usually,
in a way.
I
is it weird?
Play,
to
like, just like really somber, like dark music, and it's nice to have a uplifting vibe added to
get
it.
Get the beat it's, going, yeah,
yeah,
right.
It's really cool just to see what he does with them, too. It's, yeah.
Is there something about Liz's music specifically that kind of inspires you in certain directions, or...?
Well, I mean, I heard Liz first in, like, high school, and I was blown away, and I was like... My sister had her music somehow, and it's weird, but... Liz, just she's like an angel, and anyone who's heard her sing, they just get blown away. And when anyone hears like a Whiskey Class song, they're like, that girl can sing, you know. I mean, I do a little bit, but it all, you know, I don't know. It's a good duo. It works really well.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think it's really a cool thing, and it sort of is that way of taking this music that we've kind of grown to love of Liz's, and then just this whole other kind of element
what,
that happens to
what
it.
I really like about when I saw them at the Alaskan show that did non show at Folk Fest was and then again at the Cannabis Celebration is so casual. There's something like super like casual and just like all right, just like I mean
up doing it
what we were talking about. We're all familiar with Liz's songwriting and her singing and how potent it can be, and then like with Patrick involved in it, there's like this casualness that really I don't know, it just makes me want to kick back and recline a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. It's really,
so
really nice.
Is that something? Is it kind of a chill beat? Is that what you're looking for? Or?
Well, I don't know. I just love, I guess I just love all types of music. So, like, just whatever works, you know. And I do love jazz, so I love, like, sampling jazz. And there's a song on our album that will one day come out, and that's just a jazz cut. They play it on KXL all the time.
Which one is that?
I got Juice Man
queued up, man. All right, yeah, we're going to be playing it in a minute.
So that's just like a jazz song that I sampled up, and then I was just showing, you know, when me and Liz get together, I have like hundreds of, not hundreds, but
I'm going to play right
50.
Now.
Yeah.
You got the headphones on? I'll ask you about it a little bit here. We'll play a little bit of Juice Man here. So what were you sampling there?
I think that's Paul Desmond. It's a Paul Desmond song, which is like bossa nova stuff.
Yeah.
It's just this, just cut it up, and then, like I said, just going through, you know, me and Liz are just, like, we have our 48 hours together. She's in Seattle.
Okay.
We got to do stuff, stay up till 3 in the morning.
So are you assembling beats, or are you assembling, cuts that you're thinking, okay, no matter what she brings to the table, I'm going to have these things ready, or is it... based on when you hear her stuff, you're like, oh, there's this one thing that I know.
Both ways. Yeah. Because, like, some, like, Garbo, you know, which is, like, Liz's, I think it's, like, Liz's masterpiece. And what, you wrote that, like, 6 years ago or something? I mean, it's insane. It's insane. It's, like, a world-class song.
It's her masterpiece so far.
I agree.
So far.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
She's peaked. No.
No.
No, but that one, like, I didn't even think, you know, when I made that, we had no idea where that was going, and we just, like, I was just kind of like, ooh, and I was like, it's good to be a bad singer when you have Liz there, because we'd be like, Liz, sing this part, and then we just wrote goofy lyrics, and
very cool.
Magic.
And have you guys played together before? On the same bill, or?
I did
not
a solo set at the Cannabis Celebration, but not with Playboy Spaceman.
But
like this.
Playboy Spaceman played with Liz before.
We have played with Liz before, yes.
We're experienced.
Very cool. All right, and so give me the kind of nuts and bolts in case people want to find out how to get tickets and stuff like that.
Okay, well, if you want to get tickets online, get them before noon tomorrow. Otherwise, you'll get them at the door. And the tickets are $20. Comes with an album download, whether you buy them at the door or whether you buy them online. And doors are at 8:00. Show starts at 9:00. Whiskey Class, and then after that, then Playboy Spaceman will play, and we'll probably play some records after that if anybody wants to keep dancing. Oh, and here's the exciting part. The Rockwell Ballroom now has the disco dance floor that used to be at Suite 907.
What?
It now lives in the Rockwell Ballroom.
Is that the truth?
That is the truth.
Oh, my God. That changes everything. Oh, my God. That rocked my world.
Yeah.
So that was an amazing feature of Suite 907.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... I'm just as excited as anybody to see what it's going to be like.
And well, we're actually releasing a single, too.
Oh, awesome.
Not to take the thunder away from their release, but we plan on releasing this single at some point, and it's just one song, and then a remix that I did of the same song.
Cool.
So,
excellent.
And we don't know.
What's the song?
It's called Flicker of Light. It's a song we did for the red carpet at...
During
Folk Fest.
I really like that song. Yeah. I really like that performance.
So it's like the studio version.
Yeah.
So layers of Liz harmonies.
All right. So incredibly cool music to hear from both of these bands. It's all happening tomorrow night, 8:00. Doors open, 9:00. Kind of the music. It's going to start up, and don't miss a note, man. Don't get there late. Don't be fashionably late to this one. Get there early.
So www.playboyspaceman.com. Get your tickets there.
Sounds good. George, Bridget, Patrick, and Liz, thanks so much for coming in, you guys.
Thanks, Andy.
Have a great, great time tomorrow night.
We'll see you there.
All right. Yes, I'll be there for sure. One great musical, couple of musical bands to another. We've got Luau happening in here, the Rhythm of Polynesia. And thanks, everyone, for coming. We've got four people in the studio here,
aloha.
Musicians. Aloha. Aloha.
There you go.
We've got musical instruments. We're going to hear a little live music. I'm so excited about that. But let's talk a little bit about the show first and foremost. Maybe
sure.
Just can we go through and introduce folks as we go?
Sure, yes. Hi, I'm Lorene Latu, just managing this awesome group here.
Yeah. I'm Lineni Basi. I'm just a dancer.
Not just a dancer, yeah. I don't think, right? Yeah.
She's the core of
there
the whole thing.
There you go.
All
okay.
In one.
All right.
All in one. And I'm Totai. I'm a musician.
Ukulele player,
ukulele
I see.
Player.
I can see, among
yes.
maybe other things, but.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm Andrzej Petrowski. I'm a bass player.
All right.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So tell me a little bit about just the show itself. What are people going to expect? It's happening tomorrow night, Centennial Hall, 5 o'clock.
Yes, doors are going to open at 5. The luau, the dinner part of it, will start at 6, and the show will begin at 7. But people can expect to come in and be in a relaxing atmosphere where there's going to be some live entertainment, dance, music. It's just going to be an awesome,
food.
Awesome time.
And food. I
of
didn't,
course, don't forget
I
the food.
When I saw luau, I thought, oh, fun, entertainment. I didn't put it together. Of course, the core of a luau is amazing South
yes.
Pacific food, right? From all different regions, or
yes.
how, is that the? What's the, give me an idea
have,
of what might be
yeah,
there.
It's
yeah,
it's gonna be a Hawaiian style luau. So we'll have the traditional kalua pork, teriyaki chicken. We'll actually have some Alaskan cod, pinko crested Alaskan
all right,
cod.
That sounds all right.
We'll have the mac salad, steamed rice, green salad, fruit platters, chocolate cake.
There you go.
And some
yum.
Refreshing drinks.
Yes.
So,
sounds
yes.
good. And then for the dance portion, what can people expect to see as far as what's happening with dancing?
We are going to do all kind of Polynesian dancing,
Tahitian,
Hawaiian,
Tongan,
Samoans.
And are these are all very specific styles? Are they kind of related? Tell me about how they are kind of specified. How can you tell you're seeing Tongan dancing versus traditional Hawaiian dance?
We will introduce that. It's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
The dance is very similar. The rhythm... as far as percussion is very similar, But as we display the dance from each island, there's a similarity, but different. It's very fun.
And am I right that the dances from the islands are actually a method of storytelling? Is that true? Is that what's happening when people when the dancing's happening?
Yes, with Hawaiian, it all the hand tells the story.
The actual hand movements are are the storyline, and the rest is the
and
expression.
And with the Tahitian, it's mainly about the hips.
Okay.
So you would expect a lot of hip.
Okay.
Turning.
I see. All right.
So,
that's a key difference.
So
okay.
Live drumming, it would be fun.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. And then the music. And we're going to maybe get a little taste of that in a second here. Oh, listen to that. That's awesome to hear.
This song is called Noho Pai Pai.
Oh, let's get into it. Yeah.
Of Hawaii.
That was really very cool. Is there a storyline behind that song?
It's
someone else is in my rocking chair. I mean, I get it. You know, hey, what's going on here?
I'm not going to tell you some secret because this song will be displayed on that. If we dancers dancing that music, they will tell the story.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, very good. Very cool. Yeah. And is that traditional Hawaiian? Is that
traditional Hawaiian?
That's Hawaiian. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there other music that's going to be represented as well?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. What other? Just the South Pacific.
We do some Samoan, some South Pacific, some Tahitian, and some Tongan. So it'll be fun.
And then are there distinctions between the musical styles that people can maybe pick up on if there's a Tongan versus or a Samoan or is it it's got a lot of similarities more than differences?
A lot of similarities. In their music.
Yeah.
So we just have to display it and then we'll educate them as we go.
What draws you to the musical side of this?
We grew up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our passion. And we just met this fine bass player.
Yeah.
Yes. He's all brown inside. I'm telling you that. And that makes it a lot easier.
That's great.
And this is what you see is what you got. This is what the instrument that we have within our group. And lots of vocals.
Oh, really? Bass and uke, and that's
yes.
it? Oh, so is there other, what other instruments would maybe typically
drumming.
Be? Drumming would typically also be in it,
So.
And we will have drumming.
Yeah, we will have.
Oh,
we have drums.
Oh, okay, very cool, very cool. And then is sometimes the drumming separate and used only in the dancing?
Yes,
that
we,
kind of thing
we
too.
We combine, we drum and then we play drum, and it's a combination.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you got to put down the uke to drum.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
I know.
Right.
I don't know. These people make me do them, but it's fun. It's
yeah.
Really fun.
Yeah. Well, I can see that you guys are obviously having fun when you're doing it. A lot of smiles and really having a great time as you're playing, which is awesome to see and infectious. You know, it really makes you It's so fun to watch. Do you have another song you might be able to play, or is it just the one? Or?
I there's a song they always requested, but it's just to do with a uke. Do you want
to
do that?
I'd love to hear. We have time for one more. It'd be wonderful to hear one more, and then we'll kind of wrap it up and talk a little bit more. Beautiful style it is, and yeah. Someone who left much too early, from the earth, but his music lives on so beautiful. Thank you so much for doing that. It's wonderful.
Mahalo.
Yeah, and that wonderful, fun combination of two songs there, that was really fun. Thanks so much. Once more, let's talk about just how people can get to hear all this great music, see all the wonderful dancing, and eat all the great food.
Sure, definitely. At this point, you can give me a call, 957-2104. Just put my number out there on public radio.
There you go. Hey.
But again, 957.
No telling what happens now.
You can show up at the doors. There's plenty of space for you. We'll make accommodations for you. Show up 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and come on in, and you can pay at the door.
Sounds great. So it's a Hawaiian-style luau with dinner and everything included, live music, as you just heard, dancing, all kinds of entertainment, Polynesian dancers, and then, of course, everyone's going to be around, get to meet everyone, talk to folks, and have a great time. It sounds like an awesome time over at Centennial Hall tomorrow night. Doors open at 5.
Doors open at 5. You'll even have a chance to meet and greet the dancers.
Oh, there you go. Very good. Very cool. All right. Well, thanks so much. That's the Rhythm of Polynesia, the luau show. It's happening tomorrow night.
Thank
you. Go check it out at Centennial Hall.
All right. Aloha!
Here's Garrison Keillor with Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 8th of July, 2016. It's the birthday of the novelist and short story writer James Farrell Powers, J.F. Powers, born Jacksonville, Illinois, 1917, to a Catholic family living in a Protestant town. Powers went to Catholic school, was a great basketball player, then started working odd jobs to support himself and his family during the Depression. He was living in Chicago, unemployed, when World War II started. He refused to join the war, and so he was sent to a federal prison in Sandstone, Minnesota, finally paroled to work as an orderly in a hospital in St. Paul, writing fiction at night. His first book of short stories, Prince of Darkness, came out in 1947. Wrote novels, short stories, many of them about priests in small towns in Minnesota, books that never sold very well, even though they got great reviews, and his novel Mort Durbin won the National Book Award in 1962. It's the birthday of the columnist and novelist Anna Quinlan, born in Philadelphia in 1953, started out as a copy girl for the New York Times when she was 18. Had to drop out of college to raise her 4 younger siblings after her mother died of ovarian cancer, then finally did finish college, went to work for the Times as a reporter, then as an op-ed columnist. Left the newspaper business in 1995 to become a full-time novelist. Her first 2 novels had done very well, Object Lessons and One True Thing. Anna Quinlan, who said, "I'm so deeply relieved not to write a column at this point in time. I would have been wrong so many times. Half my columns would have been an apology for the other half." Her 8th novel, Miller's Valley, came out this past spring, about a Pennsylvania farm family forced off their land to make way for a reservoir. It was on this day, 1822, Percy Bysshe Shelley drowned at sea off the coast of Italy, just shy of his 30th birthday. And it's the birthday of the psychiatrist Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, born in Zurich in 1926, best known for her book On Death and Dying, in which she outlined the 5 stages of grief when someone is diagnosed with a terminal illness: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, a book that paved the way for hospice care. Here's a poem for today by Kenneth Rexroth, entitled Quietly. Lying here quietly beside you, my cheek against your firm, quiet thighs, the calm music of Boccherini washing over us in the quiet, as the sun leaves the housetops and goes out over the Pacific, quiet, so quiet the sun moves beyond us, so quiet as the sun always goes, so quiet our bodies worn with the times and penances of love, our brains curled quiet in their shells, dormant, our hearts slow, quiet, reliable in their interlocked rhythms, the pulse in your thigh caressing my cheek, quiet. A poem quietly by Kenneth Rexroth from Selected Poems of Kenneth Rexroth, published by New Directions and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, a monthly devoted to discovering and publishing new voices in poetry. More at poetryfoundation.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Comes from Centennial Hall Convention Center. Established in 1983 and located in Juneau's Willoughby District, Centennial Hall offers a space for concerts, conventions, festivals, and more. Upcoming events for the month of July include Billy Graham's Evangelistic America Tour Reception, the State of Alaska Department of Natural Resources Land Exchange Public Hearing, Rhythm O Polynesia Luau, and more. More information at juneau.org/centennial.
And welcome back to the studios here on a Juneau afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, your host, and joining me now is Sarah Truitt from United Way. Sarah, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And I know that you guys kind of just did a sort of a annual report, big wrap-up of all the stuff you did in the past year, and we could just maybe go over highlights and talk about the stuff that's coming up as well. What kind of what were sort of some of the big challenges and things that you were working on in 2015-16?
Sure. Yes, our annual report was just released in the Empire and Capital City Weekly for the 2015 year. And if people saw that insert or if they still have it sitting somewhere on their counters, they're welcome to open it up and see what United Way has been up to. This past year, United Way had a lot to do with I think we're trying to be more and more of a convener in the communities. Historically, people know United Way as a fundraiser. And we are, but we're also trying to take on a more community-minded approach to some of the issues that we see, in our communities. Some of those are, I think you might have seen recently, there was a big ACEs conference in town out at the university. Last year, United Way was involved with premiering the Paper Tigers film. It was put on by Alaska Children's Trust, and it was about high school children that were struggling with issues related to ACEs. And for people that don't know what that is, it's a study that was conducted that looks at adverse childhood experiences, so traumas, and how that impacts their development throughout life. So one of the things that we're looking to do is how we can be more collectively involved in other community groups moving forward to address this situation of ACEs in the community.
Really fascinating, and makes so much sense that these sort of things, people maybe have a trauma and then they cope with it, but especially if it happens in childhood, the method of coping with it may end up being something that impacts you for a long time, whether you kind of realize it or not. Yeah,
that was the really interesting thing about that study for the people that attended, that something that happened when you were five affects you at 65.
Amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
And that brings me to when I was here, I think about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about our community impact grant cycle had been open at that time. It recently closed, and we received quite a few applications. And those applications are from partner agencies and non-partner agencies that work in health and human services. And last year, we granted, I don't remember the number exactly, I think it was about 12, and almost all of those topics are related to access to health care, children that are struggling in school, support of domestic violence shelters throughout the region safe, for example. Here in the annual report, we talk about a prescription drug program that was funding that was provided to Front Street Community Health Center. And, you know, right there is a organization that's helping folks who are struggling,
mm-hmm.
and getting kind of tying it all together. The ACEs study shows that people that suffer these traumas in childhood go on to suffer further, or have a greater likelihood, let's say, of suffering further in life. And Front Street does a wonderful job of helping those most in need in our community. So you can see how it all kind of ties together.
The
work that we're trying to do, and you know, it couldn't be possible really without donors that support us. Yeah, I mean, we run a local campaign, which the highlights of which we record in this annual report, and it shows kind of where money was dispersed, and it's very much donor-driven. People can choose where they want to give, which is what United Way is known for. What we do beyond the local campaign is a SHARE campaign, the State of Alaska Employees, and the Combined Federal or CFC campaign, and that solicits donations from federal employees working in Alaska. Those campaigns are not overseen by us. We participate in them, so that's why you don't see a lot of that in this report. This mm-hmm. is specifically to our local presence.
But it is one of those things, just as a reminder, that, you know, for people who are, you know, working in those places that have those programs, maybe they are new to the state or new to doing that, or just haven't had a chance to do that in the past, it's always there, always able to sign up for that, and
mm-hmm.
it's such an easy way of doing it, too, because it's just that. It's just like, it's just, you never see it. It just goes that way. And then, you know, it's really a nice feeling because you know that you've kind of done your part and that you've kind of taken care of that segment of your community.
Yeah. And, you know, and we try to put out publications like this as well as a monthly newsletter so that people can see, like you said, well, you know, you can do it and you can forget about it, which is handy. But we also want to remind people that you know, this is also what you did, too.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You may not have literally given an agency funding for this prescription drug program, but your finances, your contribution did.
In the end, you did, really.
And you did.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, and somebody that maybe couldn't have afforded their prescription did.
And it's such the United Way provides that really great service of being a clearinghouse, where United Way vets these programs, makes sure that these programs are ones that fit within the mission that
mm-hmm.
falls under what United Way can do. And then you know that when you give to United Way, that those programs that are very community-oriented
mm-hmm.
end up, you know, they're well-vetted, they're well-run, they're really helping people that need the help.
Yes, yes. All of our partner agencies have a application process. And when I say partner agency in that context, I specifically mean a 501c3 nonprofit. We would consider a partner anyone that wanted to help us work towards a common goal. But yes, those 501c3 organizations are on our website under partners, and they are within the region of Yakutat to Ketchikan. And they are working actively in the community. And a lot of people say, oh, United Way of Southeast Alaska, but you're in Juneau. Well, we are. But these partners have a presence throughout the region. Last year, for example, some of that grant money went to Thorne Bay. Some of that money went to Craig. Some of it went to Sitka. So we try to have as much of a regional presence as we can, given the geographic restrictions.
Yeah, right. Well, tell me, there's another thing we were talking about called the Day of Caring. Tell mm-hmm. me a little bit about that. It's a program we hear about every year. And
oh, yeah, sure.
Is it coming up soon? Or?
Maybe not soon. Well, I feel like it's soon.
Yeah, you're planning for it already, right? I'm sure, yeah.
We have it coming up at the end of September, and we just started putting it together. Last year we had, I believe it was 10 or 11 area businesses working in the community providing a day of service, maybe is a more accurate description, to nonprofit partners. For example, we had several teams actually from CBJ. They built a fire pit at JYS for the kids to have like s'mores and stuff in the evening. We had a crew from actually the university students do a food drive on Saturday, Saturday, October 3rd, I think it was, for the food bank. We had a team from GCI doing a highway cleanup. We had a team from North Rim Bank doing a cleanup for Catholic Community Services, landscaping at JAMI. So that model is engaging businesses in contributing, well, their employees, that is, contributing some time out of their day to help beautify or tackle a project that a nonprofit needed. And the goal there is to connect someone who doesn't work in maybe philanthropy every day with what it means to be philanthropic through something other than a checkbook.
Mm-hmm. So many things that United Way is involved with. It's so cool to just hear about what you've already been doing, what's ahead for you. Any other, in like the minute we have left, any other quick highlight of things coming up that you want to make sure people know about or are sort of staying tuned to, keeping the antennas up on?
Well, we're going to be launching our fall campaign in September, and we're going to be working with our partners to get the word out to the communities of different businesses of different ways that they can give and contribute. I would encourage you to check out our website, UnitedWay.org. Take a look at the volunteer tab and the find help tab on the right-hand side to see what resources we've been putting together in different ways you can get involved. And you can also call us at 463-5530 if you have any questions.
Sarah Truitt of the United Way, thanks so much for coming in and letting us know what's going on there.
Thank you.
All right, here's Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. Nothing will bring wondrous songbirds to your yard faster than a ready supply of water. The summer season is generally the driest of the year. Creeks run low or underground. Rain is scarce and temporary puddles gone. Summer is a crucial time to supply your backyard birds with water for drinking and bathing. Bird baths set at different heights serve a great variety of birds. Some shy birds come readily to a bird bath set flat on the ground, but will rarely visit a bird bath on a pedestal. Leave those for the more bold bathers. Water depth is important too. Many birds prefer shallow water over deep. An inch of water, or even less, is ideal for small birds. A wide, shallow bird bath that deepens a bit in the center will suit a broad range of birds. A fine dripper or a mister on a bird bath is also a superb idea. Not only will it keep the vessel full with little effort, but small birds like hummingbirds often prefer a refreshing shower. Many birds find the drip, drip, drip of the water inviting. Learn how to create a backyard sanctuary for birds and other wildlife. Begin at our website, birdnote.org.
Programming is made possible in part by Juno's own Alaska Pure Mountain Spring Water. Available in Juno stores or delivered in 5-gallon jugs to homes and offices. 780-4262.
And welcome back to a Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein with you. And joining me now is Karen Parver from Rotary.
Yes, and Juno Glacier Valley.
Juno Glacier Valley Rotary. And you paid your due. You don't have to pay any fines, right?
That's right.
For time being a Rotary person, I'm like, oh, I had to pay fines at the last meeting.
I just have to make sure I get the name out there right.
That's right. You have to get it right. And this is a really cool event that Rotary's helped putting on, which is the Day at the Pool, at the Valley Pool location, right?
Diamond Park.
So it's happening tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 3 sessions, 11, 1, and 3. And each session will be an hour and a half long. It's open to the community. So
cool.
Really, we want anyone and everyone to show up. It's really a great chance for those people that maybe never get to the pool. It's free. So just show up about 20 to 30 minutes before the session starts, and you'll get a wristband and have some fun.
That's cool. A free day at the pool, and the whole facility is kind of open for this whole day. It is really true. That pool in the valley is beautiful. It is such a cool facility to have in this town, and I don't get there enough. I find myself not getting there enough.
Right, and I'm always amazed how many people I run into around town that have actually never been there.
Right.
And luckily I have kids, so I'm there a lot. But it's amazing. For those that haven't been, there's slides, there's the diving boards, there's the lazy river. So there's something for
everyone. I know the lazy river.
Yes.
I love that lazy river. Just lay in there.
Yes, the whirlpool and also the hot tubs. So
right.
Kind of sauna. So there's always something you can find some fun to do there.
And you guys are doing some extra activities too,
right? We are. Yeah. So when you're done swimming, not before, after swimming, there's hot dogs. We want to make sure that's after swimming.
I always, that rut old rule, I still remember it. What was it, like an hour?
Hour, I think.
Hot dogs were more, because I don't know what it was, but anyway.
So after swimming, there's hot dogs. We also have face painting. There's a dunk tank. We have, I believe, the mayor, the police chief, the superintendent are all showing up for the dunk tank.
Now, where's the dunk tank set up?
We set it up outside, so actually kind of while you're waiting in line, it's fun chance to watch people get dunked or even take a chance and try to dunk them yourself.
All right. So just what, baseballs and a target
baseball
kind of thing?
Baseball and a target.
All
that's right.
The good old-fashioned dunk tank.
Yes.
All right. And good cold water. You make sure that water's good and cold, right?
I don't know. And they keep telling me I'm going to be in it this year, so I'm not.
Wait a minute.
I'm hoping it's warm water.
I didn't sign up for this, right?
I know. Well, and, you know, we have a lot of people that help make this happen, obviously. Glacier Swim Club helps us a lot, our own club members. But we also have sponsors, and I just want to make sure to thank them. True North, Cam Books, Holt Chiropractic, Juno Empire, the Juno Radio Station, Alaska Laundry and Cleaners, our two State Farm agents, Malaya Hayward and Chad Erickson, Gas and Go, Petra Express, Valley Paint Center, Napa Glacier Auto Parts, LG Rafels and Mertz. And so they all help make this possible by basically sponsoring the pool admission for everyone.
And do you what kind of comes of it? Do you see people who get back into swimming as a result? Do you see kids get fired up about getting in the pool, that sort of thing?
I think it's mostly seeing kids or even families realize that it's a really fun activity. It's great exercise. I think, you know, we live around so much water. I think it's one of the best skills we can have here just in case of emergency to know how to swim.
It is that funny thing. I grew up outside of Juneau, and, you know, I swam at the beach. I swam in the water. You know, that's where I swam a lot, and you don't realize that in Southeast Alaska, you know, unless you're at a pool or something, the water seems like this place. You just don't go in.
Right.
And so to learn those skills, especially at an early age, is so important.
Right. Yeah. And what's great about our Diamond Park Center here is that it has a zero entry pool. So if people don't know what that is, it's basically, it starts, you know, just as a gradual, it's like a beach, basically. It just gets gradually deeper and deeper. So even people with little tiny infants can bring their child and just kind of sit in that real shallow water, let them play, and kind of introduce the infants to water and swimming.
And
so,
like you say, hot tub.
That's right.
Yeah.
For those without kids or kids that are old enough to swim by themselves, you can kind of have some relaxing time in the sauna, the hot tub.
Sauna, have a good political discussion in the sauna.
Yes.
You know, those things, that's where all the politics in Juneau happens. It's in the saunas of the pools.
That's right.
That's where it's going down.
So, and this is the sixth annual day at the pool. It started 6 years ago, and it really was kind of an outreach. Max Mertz from our club is very active with swim club as well. And what he and some of the coaches realized from doing a survey is there were a lot of kids in Juneau that never had swam or never been introduced to swimming. And so, again, just making it's a safety aspect and making it available to anyone that wants to come at least try it out, see what it's about.
And there's plenty of room. As you were saying, there's up to 200 people can fit in any one session. So there's going to be plenty of room.
Yep.
You were saying get there a little early.
Right. We really recommend, you know, 20, 30 minutes early because, you know, it is available based on space. And so, again, the sessions are at 11, 1, and 3. And we have half an hour kind of between each session to kind of get people out and other people in. And you'll have a wristband that you get. That way we know. And if you are a family and maybe you're concerned because maybe your kids don't swim yet, basically the rule is just to keep your child within arm's length distance from you. And there's lifeguards on duty.
Bring a towel. And because you have to supply your own towel. But there's awesome locker rooms
and all that stuff.
Yep.
And there's family locker rooms again. So, you know, if you are a family group, you can go share a changing room.
Great.
There's separate men's and women's as well. Bring your own towel, shampoo, that kind of stuff for after the pool.
Well, great. So it all happens tomorrow. It starts 11, but you can go 11, 1, or 3, get there a little bit early. It's a day at the pool. It's sponsored by Rotary and brought to you by a bunch of other organizations as well. Karen Parver, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And have a great day at the pool tomorrow.
Great. Thank you.
All right. And that's it for a Juneau Afternoon. Thanks for joining me, and have a great weekend.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in